With a Capital One Saver Card, you'll earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. And for a limited time, new card members can earn a $250 cash bonus after spending $500 on purchases within the first 3 months. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/saver for details.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
A cool and crisp Modelo tastes good, but that fought for every rebound Modelo, or that just clocked out Modelo, that Modelo you earned is just better. That Modelo is the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. I am Bart Winkler. This is our weekly brought to you by the fine folks at Carl's Place. I don't know if you guys heard earlier in the week, Q was very excited to tell me his buddy got a simulator through Carl's Place, but did not use my link.
Close. So close.
But that's fine. We're just trying to help Carl's Place. Selling
not about
those
you.
Gulfs. It's not about me. About that's why Carl. It's the Winkler verse. True. It's about me a lot because of Winkler, but it's
the
also
part of the name. Yeah.
Yeah. It's also the verse. Been a big week here on the Winkler verse. We're doing this on a Friday. Appreciate you guys for that. I have one story that I want to touch on before we get into the Q&A portion of the show.
Is that what it is? Q&A?
And that would be, did you guys see this? Did you see this? Did you hear about this?
What do you got?
Harrison Dave? Bader and I have something in common.
I did see this.
Wrecked your shit on a Lime scooter.
Harrison Bader's been injured and he was in Indianapolis, I believe, for further testing. But over the weekend, he ran one of those electronic scooters into the back of a fire truck and fucked up his foot. These things, let me take you back to my scooter night. And I say my scooter night, it's the one time I've ever ridden a scooter. Road. I took the scooter down. And another mistake I had was I was also trying to hold an American flag in my hand on the way there.
As one Patriot. Does.
Yeah. And I went down and I parked it and I thought, I ain't never do none this again. I then did it on the way home like an idiot. And I didn't, I told you guys, did I tell you guys I fell on a scooter?
Yes.
Yes.
What was the Dwayne Wade commercial? Fall down 7, get up 8.
Mm-hmm.
Because I fell down 3 and got up 4. I actually fell 3 times on the scooter. Each one more devastating than the last. There was one time I was laying spread out almost as if to start to do a snow angel in that formation. And I heard a lady say, are you okay? And I said, I don't look like it, but I am fine. And then I got up and I had lost my wedding ring phone and my leg was just gushing blood. These things are not safe. And I see some of these like second graders not riding a Lime scooter, but they're getting electronic scooters. Now they're wearing a helmet, but still, I don't understand with the way that sidewalks are like never even and the roads and the potholes, and you got to be in like, there's got to be like one lane where you fall into soft foam. I'm not trying to be an old man here. You know, I'm pro safety. I'm a friend of the Wisconsin Bike Federation. Shout out Jake. But Jesus Christ, these things should not be allowed. And now Harrison Bader. I thought I might be the poster child for it, but I got to get my people in touch with Bader's people and see if he can't come on and talk about it.
Previously, like
exactly.
Hmm.
Who are your people?
Tim, Shay.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, sorry, Paul. What?
No, for what it's worth, you're a little quiet, Grant. Is he a little quiet, Bart?
Testing, yeah, testing, testing.
Testing, testing.
Yeah, yeah. You're just a little quiet. What you said reminded me of Jay Williams, former Bull, current NBA analyst, and his motorcycle accident in, 2003 time period, where it ended his basketball career. And then I think it was even true back then. I don't remember if that was the reason that it started, but where players now, and for decades now, I don't remember if that was the start of it. It might have been. Now having their contracts, like there are certain, you don't get to do these things or it voids your contract, motorcycles being on that list. And now I wonder if between your incident and Harrison Bader's, if it's going to be like, if you get injured using a Lime scooter, your contract is voided.
I don't think motorcycles should be legal either. I understand the love and the business, and it's a big part of Milwaukee, but those things scare me to death. And then when you have these motorcycle people are like, all right, I'm on a motorcycle. So you need to protect my traffic rights. And then everyone in their car is like, okay. And then anytime there's a little bit of traffic, what do motorcycles do? They go through the cars. They go in that middle lane. And then when there's packs of motorcycles, I always assume it's a gang or a poker run, but normally a gang. It's very scary to me.
So you don't want to drive near motorcycles? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, if I hit someone with my car,
it's your fault. Well, you will be blamed.
If I hit another car with my car,
oh,
as I've done, oh, my neck hurts. If I hit a motorcycle, I'm paying for a funeral. You know what I mean? And then you're like, well, what about bikes?
Like bicycles.
Fuck those.
My dad's a big biker.
Should get rid of those too. E-bikes.
I've told my dad this. I know you're going to die on your bike. I'm going to get a call one day that you're dead and it's on your bike. Sorry, Dad. He's crashed a few times. One time, like a cat got in his wheel or something. I don't remember the story.
What?
Nah. He's all fucked up.
Really? Like he crashed because of it?
I don't think people should even be in cars. I don't think people should leave their house. I think we should do like that movie Surrogates, where you like have a person in a tub, and then that person goes out in the real world, and you feel their thoughts and feelings.
Which movie was this? I know what you're talking
Surrogates.
About. Surrogates. Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to picture it.
Bruce Willis?
I was going to say, it had to be a Bruce Willis. Okay, yes.
Yeah. Surrogates.
Yep.
Anyway, take it from there.
I saw it once. But actually, going back to it real quick, I'm sure that why it hasn't happened yet, having Lime scooters not be in player contract, if it's not already, it will be now. So you'll get partially your wish, at least for professional athletes. Bart, here's the problem with doing this later in the week. You took my two topics that I wanted to talk about the most, and you've run with them during the week, and you've done very well with them. But I want to see if we can expound on them a little bit, get some Grant takes.
There's one that I hope you bring up because I feel like it's a really good angle.
Okay.
That no one's taking. Is it scuba related?
Kind of. Say your thing.
I think the Tigers are going to be more prone to trade scuba to the Dodgers than the Brewers.
Oh, because it will induce a lockout?
Yes. Because if they give them to the Brewers and a small market team wins.
But why would the Tigers owners want you're under the assumption Tigers owners want the lockout.
Every owner does.
And thus.
Well, I don't know. Because now you got some owners that don't want to spend more money. And there's a salary cap. There's going to be a salary floor.
Well, to be clear, the one thing I thought of, and then we'll get into the maybe this will turn into it accidentally. When the Bucks won their title, it couldn't be enjoyed in the same way. It wasn't as bad from a fan's perspective as if like they had won 2020 in the bubble, but 2021 was still funky. Like, first off, that finals was played like 2 months later than it normally would have been. It was goofy. Like, it wasn't a normal season.
Oh, no.
Hold on. You can disagree. But what I'm saying is the Brewers are going to win the World Series because next season will be canceled and or postponed. So then the whole, opening day at the home ballpark will be in July instead of late March. This is why I think the Brewers are going to win it all, because the season next season is going to be all fucked.
I am the most optimistic that we're getting Scooble than I've ever been.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how high or Wheeler. Is he available?
But that
the guy with the Mets.
You talking about Zach Wheeler?
There's Weaver. A Met that's in the running for a trade.
Weaver.
Peralta.
Weaver.
And
Weaver.
Holmes.
We're getting something better than we've gotten.
Oh, sure.
I think so.
We're not Swarzak. We're not going Lockridge.
Swarzak.
So let me, this was going to be like my third topic, but let's just do it because you brought it up.
But can I, hold on. You're dismissing the Bucks finals?
I'm not dismissing it. I'm saying it wasn't the same. So maybe I'm speaking for myself, but.
Because other people have, because it was, they call it a hospital ring because it was 72 games.
I'm not dismissing the regular season aspects of it. And again, 2020 is obviously.
Still in the finals, they had like you had to sit three rows high or whatever.
I'm saying in our lifetime, let's say the Bucks win one title and the Brewers win one title. It would make sense that the Bucks would do it during a COVID year when, you know, the stands were still not the same. Like people were sitting like tiered up differently. Like you go back and watch the 2021 NBA finals and it looks nothing like any other NBA finals. And then the Brewers will win the World Series in 2026 just to have the 2027 season canceled and then have to this was a huge story at the time and it really frustrated me because I wanted the Astros to pay for their crimes. And essentially what the Astros were paying for was like, yeah, but now you have to go into each ballpark and be, you know, and then 2020 season just didn't happen in the normal way. So like, these are like those, like, okay, the Brewers are going to win it all just to be locked out. And then Brewers fans not to be able to enjoy it the way.
So it doesn't cheapen it, but we just can't enjoy it.
It can't be enjoyed in the same way.
Yeah. I'll enjoy it.
It'll look, the aftermath will be a little bit different.
If we're going to win a World Series, we might as well win the last one ever.
Maybe that's the other part of it. I did read something that said, and again, Bart, you were the one that when I was getting excited about 2027 and, you know, all the prospects that the Brewers are always having. And then, you know, but they're going to be locked out next season. And then a couple weeks ago when you started reading the Brewers schedule, I was like, I think you're missing one very important Bart point in all of this. And it's like, you tell me they're going to play baseball on March 27th. I forget what I was reading today, but it was an article that was about like, clearly they're starting late next year. Like it just feels inevitable that next season starts late and how late slash ever that it gets resolved. And if they really do push for a salary cap, like what does that mean? And I don't think it's just like narrative building to say that the Scooble where he's traded to is inconsequential to that. I think there's, yes, it is. I think Scooble being a Dodger is like the icing on the lockout cake of like, yeah, oh shit, well, I guess that's happening. Oh, I know what it was too, because it was mentioning that Scooble, again, I'm not sure whose article this was, but it said that his preference is to be a Dodger next year. So this is one of like pre-acquisitions was the word it used. They're going to acquire him now and then have easier to resign him and then whatever. And that's just going to be another tipping point of clearly baseball needs overhaul.
Baseball does have to be careful because I hope they don't forget that they are playing in the United States of America, which is a great country. However, when you have 330 million people, a lot of them are stupid. And if we go on strike and if there's a lockout, the Savannah Bananas are going to be expanding that league. They're going to have a 16-team league. They're going to play 6 games a month in Milwaukee. They will all be sellouts.
Wow, you're right.
These stadiums are going to look and say, okay, we can sell out 6 games a month, sell all this merch, get a huge cut, sell all this food, guaranteed sellouts, or we could open the stadium 15 times a year, have the stadium filled a third in these April day games, still pay the same amount of employees to come and dick around on the fourth level.
Yeah. There's never, that's another great point by you. There's another one I want to mention here momentarily.
And this guy, and you say, well, that won't happen.
It will.
This motherfucker in that yellow suit, he's not going to let a strike pass him by.
No, what? Nor should
fucking capitalizing.
Nor should he. And by the way, what would stop Major League Baseball players from playing in that league?
Integrity.
I mean, if they're, you can't just
respect.
The Dodgers will be there. All of their players will be there front and center opening day.
Yeah.
You can't just like stop playing baseball, like as a hitter. Like they, I mean, you take a little bit of a break in the off season, but if it's like February and you're gearing up for spring training and then you get locked out, you need to train somewhere. You need to hit somewhere. Like if like Banana Balls snagged 10 reasonably good MLB players, I mean, that they don't need it. They don't need the MLB players. You're right. It would sell out regardless. Good call. They would creep further into the, oh, this is actually better baseball, more fun, more accessible baseball.
It's actually bad baseball.
I don't think
people dance.
But was that a banana ball? Did they call it banana ball? Like that was a game with the Kerry Wood pitch, right? Was that where that came from? That was cool. I enjoy. Like I still am trying to figure out exactly the sleight of hand that he did with
Corey Hart was the surprise guy at our game that I went to, and he grounded to fucking short.
So,
or maybe they do more legends games. I don't know. There's going to be baseball played at Miller Park somehow.
No, so the former players wouldn't do that because they would be going against their people. Like they'd be going against the current players by doing that. Like they'd be harming their negotiations by keeping the lights on for the team. So that wouldn't happen. But Banana Ball would take full advantage.
And ESPN, which is out of the MLB business, already airs, even though they fired Carl Ravitch and he's calling games the rest of the season.
I saw that too.
Anyway, I don't want to talk any more Banana Ball than
I just was wondering, like, when has a media company, Bar, this is a question for you. When has a media company ever let someone go and then let them stay on the air for like 2 or 3 months after that?
Yeah, that'd be pretty fucked up if that happened. And there'd probably be a lot of resentment.
So
and it would probably drive that kind of person to alcohol and other substances. I don't know.
To be clear, that is why he's still on the air, I assume, is he's just pulling a Winkler, as they call it in the biz.
Yes.
He's been let go, but he's going to continue through.
Well, more like pulling an Infinity.
I was mostly saying that all in jest. So let's just slightly pivot then. It's the most minor U-turn or detour, I guess would be the right way to say it. I was going to ask later in the pod, but like this is the time to do a non-Jesus Madé. Like Jesus Madé is not on the board. I don't care what like viral thing the other day, I think was at MLB Network that proposed like, oh yeah, then Madé will be in the Scooble deal. Like, but now is the time for your CC Sabathia-esque Scooble in this case, whatever it takes to get the guy. Like this is the time. Don't prospect hoard, sell the prospects, go for it. In the non-Jesus Madé division, we can talk Andrew Fisher. Grant, I saw you tweeting about him, but now's the time to go sell the prospects, go for it.
Because I think you could acquire Tarek Skubal and still have a really bitchin' farm system, which is why they're doing this, I think.
Yeah,
I think that's why the Brewers are in at this deadline in a way they haven't been in the past, is because they can go for it and still operate. They want to operate. Like, I don't think this is a departure from their philosophy. They could make a trade for Tarek Skubal and still have three or four really high, I mean, more than three or four, but
yeah,
still a big handful of prospects they really love. Pratt and Lara are already up here. You know, Miz is already up here. Like, I think part of the reason they're in on some of these guys is, you know, the interest in some of the pitchers and players who are available and their fit on this team, but also they have so much ammo, they don't need to change who they are. So why not? If you can get a deal that you like for a player that you want.
Grant, who's the best prospect you're willing to include?
Pena. I trade Pena. They're number two. Luis Pena, their number two guy.
So how do you feel about it? Pratt, Logan Henderson, are they all off the table for you?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, Pratt and Lara. I don't understand. They've extended Pratt and Lara, and I don't understand why. Why National? I understand not everyone's in Milwaukee, but I don't understand why Nightingale or Heyman. And I'm not saying they've done this, but those types. I don't understand why those guys would look at Milwaukee and say, well, they'd probably have to give up a Pratt or a Lara. The Brewers extended those.
Are they still on like the MLB.com prospect list?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's
then. I bet you they don't know they were extended.
Really good point. That's a really good point. So Pratt and Lara out. They're not going to trade Henderson. And you could argue that maybe they should, but they're not gonna, because I guarantee the Brewers and their internal models look and they say, well, Logan Henderson has a 40% chance of making three or four starts just as good or better than Tarik Skubal does in the postseason.
Yeah.
Plus all the years of control. So I think Lara and Pratt are off the table. I think Henderson's off the table. So the headliner, the centerpiece of the deal has got to be a prospect. It's not going to be Mate. And I don't know that any of the other guys in the top 10 are good enough to be a centerpiece. So I think it's Pena and then what else? Who else do they want?
Yeah.
And I think Pena's over. I think he's overvalued. I think he's overranked.
Who's overranked? You cut out for a second. Who's overranked?
Luis Pena. I think their number two prospect is. I think he's overranked. Just put it that way.
Okay.
I don't think he's as good as a number two prospect in a system that good.
I would say, because if not now, when? If you don't do it now,
next season during the lockout.
Right. If you don't do it now, when is it going to happen? Everything, the recipe is there. Like last year, again, they were good. They were good. They were in it. And they did not go for it. They made the Shelby Miller, Jordan Montgomery thing. They did the Brandon Lockridge thing. They had an opportunity to go for it. But now they've seen what they're up against with the Dodgers. So if they think they can get past the NLDS or whatever, they've seen what they need to beat the Dodgers. They can also say, yes, we lost to the Dodgers, but they also, you know, the Dodgers were flawless, essentially, in that series. So there is a path to beating them, but we do need some reinforcements. If not now, then. And I'll tell you this also. If the Brewers do make this all-in move that we want, not only will I be so, so happy, but it will make me even more mad about the state of the Packers. It will piss me off even more about the Packers, because the Packers are now acting like the Brewers. There's nothing wrong with acting like the Brewers. And what I mean by that is always trying to – bites of the apple. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that if in the landscape of the sport you have to do that to survive. But the Packers don't have to do that to survive. And I would recommend checking out today's episode of Butchie's Den with my new friend Brian Butch, as he agrees wholeheartedly with me on the Titletown withdrawal. And then it's followed up by an interview with Andy Herman, who was making fun of me for saying seventh seed town instead of Titletown. Butchie's Den, available wherever you get your podcast. So somebody's got to try to win in this town.
What are you demanding the Packers do that they haven't done? Is it just fire the coach?
Yeah. And then to have a new president come in and totally just act like he's not in charge. Like, I don't want to step in on LaFleur and Gutekunst's thing. You're the fucking president.
That's fine.
Make the decisions.
No, the coach is fine. I mean, they did just trade for Micah Parsons. That was I think they've been pretty aggressive. But if you don't believe in the coach and you think the president is okay just kind of being the seventh seed, then that's
not to bang on this dead drum or beat on this horse or whatever. But how can you be in on the coach?
Understood.
How can you?
Understood.
What happened to Packer fans? What happened to you guys? 70s and 80s, you don't know how hard it was. I'm going to tell my grandkids, all the 10s and 20s, we had the best team in the league, but we had fucking Farts McDicknut as our coach.
Scrappy-Doo.
Grant, are you really, truly, like, Washington Nationals, you can have whatever you want if you trade a C.J. Abrams. Like, if they really – no, you're not doing like that. You're not going that far.
No, I would do Skubal. Because he's a rental. Here's the thing. And this has been bothering me for a month. Everyone said, well, yeah, I mean, you're not going to give a prospect for a rental. You know, the Brewers are not going to do it for a rental. Why not? Why is the R word such a dirty word? It's cheaper. You're not paying for the control. You're renting a guy for the exact window of time you need him. And he's going to cost less as a result. So I'm more in on a rental than CJ Abram.
I'm okay with getting rid. I mean, Mate, okay, is going to be an exception. I want to. We are close. We have a good team. We have a good record. We have a good manager. You don't get closer than this. And if this is the year that you're going to be all prospect guarded when you are where you are and the lockout is where you is it where it is, like what are prospects other than planting seeds in a garden you never get to see? Right?
Great, great point. Great poetry.
What is a farm system other than a plot of land of prospects you never get to see?
Couldn't have said it better.
Lin-Manuel Miranda could, or whatever the fuck his name is.
You got it right. You know exactly what his name is.
All right.
Freddy Peralta for nothing. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
Oh, I take him for nothing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Brewers 43rd prospect. You know,
I would take him for the 80th best prospect.
So I'm saying like a McCullers level trade. You get Freddy Peralta for Prince Fielder's other son.
What was the point of that, by the way?
Well, it was a flyer. It was a flyer.
Yeah, but they gave up. They found a junk microwave, plugged it in, and just said, "Oh, it doesn't work."
That was the right assessment. Yeah.
Did you tinker with it?
I think they probably tried to tinker with it.
Okay.
So is it more fun getting Freddy Peralta back because Freddy Peralta is Freddy Peralta, or more because of the absolute extra exclamation point it would put on the fleecing of trading Peralta for good stuff and then getting him back for nothing?
I mean, I like the opportunity to shit on David Stearns, but I don't necessarily, yeah. I don't need this trade to happen to do that. I'm not running low on ammo with David Stearns anytime soon.
Yeah.
I don't think David Stearns, I don't think he can trade Peralta back.
I don't either.
How could you? Because let's say this. Let's say you trade him back for a bag of balls, and then the Brewers get a great run out of him. Mets fans are going to storm your office building and throw you out the window. Like that's not a trade he can make. It's almost like the Brewers are in the Mets division, and you're not going to deal with them. Like I don't think the Mets can deal Freddy Peralta to the Brewers. I don't think David Stearns can risk that.
You can't.
He's expiring, right? Isn't he expiring?
Yeah,
sure.
The only thing the Brewers cannot do is pitch Peralta in Chicago in the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, preferably Freddy Peralta doesn't pitch in the playoffs at all. Like, that's the thing. Freddy Peralta had his career best year last year and was basically worthless as a playoff starter. So, like, what are we really doing here? You know what I mean? Well, the Brewers, I mean, they could fix him. Fix him to what? What he was last year? That still wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to give them what they need, which is a guy who can help them in the postseason, unless they put them in the bullpen or something weird. But then what are we doing? Like, also on this deadline, like, if you're going to make a move, like, go get Skubal, go get a real, but because you're just like, you give up the 30th best prospect in your system. Like, that's what they did for Daniel Norris. They gave up Reese Olson and he turns out to be a stud anyways. Like, you're just as likely to lose out on a player, in my opinion, who could turn out to be awesome when you're dicking around making a move that you think is risk-free. So like, don't fart around with Freddy Peralta, go get someone actually good, or don't bother. Just don't bother. Then just keep your prospects, and I'll be fine with it, because that's what they do.
My last Lance McCullers Jr. take is one thing I found very exciting in my life is when I'm looking through my old cards and I find the father of someone who's in the league now. So I find like a Lance McCullers card. I find that very titillating. That's all.
Okay.
Titillating?
Yeah. Whatever I said.
Yeah, you said titillating.
Titillating?
Or scintillating?
What, yeah.
Scintillating?
It was one of the two. It wasn't the option you went with.
What else you got? Spider-Man was good. Anyone want to talk Spidey?
I don't want to talk Spidey at all.
I told you I didn't even know there was a new Spider-Man, and that's not to insult it's a two Americas thing.
So here's
which you always get to yell at, by the way. You anytime you're excited about something, we never come in and be like, oh, two Americas. But anytime there's something that Bart hasn't heard of, he's got to take a big wet shit all over it. But that's
I'm excited about the highest grossing movie of the year.
That's fine. That's a bigger America than my America, to be fair. That's a good point.
Okay. You know what else is so weird?
What's that?
That guy that was on Ted Lasso is Roy Kent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is in a Netflix movie with Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
They are just pumping out content that no one's ever going to watch. But then there's this whole world of people that watch, like, that's what they do.
Watch that type of stuff?
I'm telling you, we live in this world where we're like cable and streaming. And I would, there's a lot of houses that only have the local channels and one app, and it's probably Netflix. And the shit that they are watching, yeah, there's like 12 Americas.
Young Sheldon and Wheel, basically. That's what they're...
Pretty much.
Paul?
Should I try again?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. That's my fault.
Here's the two that I had, and I specifically wrote this so I would save it. This was on July 22nd that I wrote this question, and Bart has since gone long form on it, but here's how I asked it back on July 22nd in my notes. The Packers will have a traditional owner in our lifetimes.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Interesting.
Oh.
Mm-mm.
Hey, you guys want to go to the bar and you want to go long form this weekend as a trio? You want to get together and go long form? Sorry, it's just really funny to me. Bart, take this one, please.
In our lifetime,
Packers have a traditional owner. You got to bet yes or no.
I'm going to bet mm-mm.
Okay.
But I don't think it won't be for a lack of trying from the league.
Okay.
I think the league wants them to. My conspiracy theory is they want a real owner and then they want them to move.
I don't know if I agree with the second part necessarily, but the league hates the financial disclosure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and as they should. It's a peek under the books that only happens because of these pesky Packers, you know, and their ownership situation.
And we would have got away with it, too, if not for you.
The first thought that came to my mind, yeah.
Is it worth anything?
Bart might have.
We're not going to Hammond, but also now it's worth the whole fucking NFL hating on us.
Grant, what's your initial reaction? Packers will have a traditional owner in our lifetimes? Mm-hmm or mm-mm?
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
Really? I'll be.
You think they will?
If no. I don't think it's like 90%, 10% that they will, but if it's 60-40, 55-45, I would.
So then how does it play out? How does it happen?
I don't know, but like there's too much loud noise, too much smoke for like eventually in our lifetimes the fire not to be so engulfing.
Well, like I said about Florio, like when Florio's talking about it, we can very easily be Packer fan and say, oh, Mike Florio's a Vikings fan.
Sure.
Mike Florio is not bringing up the possibility of the Packers ownership structure changing if he isn't confident enough that there are people talking about it.
Exactly. It's like, you know, when an NBA insider goes on TV and like they say something that they didn't like report. Like, well, yeah, because they're just dropping.
Or when LeBron meets with the Cavs and Shams sits on it for 2 months.
Yeah, right. That's fun too. But I mean, it's like.
Kyle Shanahan gets in an accident and you report it on my terms.
Yeah. Did you talk about, you didn't talk about, you guys, either of you guys spend time on Romo this week?
I'm pretty pissed that JJ Watt is benefiting from this.
He would benefit from this.
I know.
That's so perfect, actually.
I had a friend text me. They're like, who does Bart hate more, Rodgers or J.J. Watt?
You know, we're going to find
out. It's not even fucking close.
You know what? We're going to find out in 3 weeks that the arresting officer was J.J. Watt's childhood friend. You know, he's going to.
I'm not. That's, yes. J.J. Watt. You know, everyone's like, Mr. Beast is weird, but we don't know why, but we'll find out someday.
Yeah, right.
That's what I think about J.J. Watt. I think he is meticulous. I think he is cunning. I think he is a facade. I think it's all an act.
What is the act?
Everybody's friend. Everybody's nice guy. I don't trust this entire family. Okay. And I'm sorry that they're from here and they played here. There's a lot of evil people in this state. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think they're bad. I think they're evil.
The interesting thing to me is, like, I think CBS just wants out of the Romo business, and they're just going to use this as a reason. You know what I mean? Like,
but you think before this happened, they were like, they're looking for a reason to avoid that contract type of thing, is what you're saying?
I don't know about avoid or void or anything like that. I think... for the last year or two, CBS is like, fuck, man, we paid Romo all this money and we're getting dragged weekly. And like, you know, it's fine, but damn it. You know, like I don't know that they were actively trying to get out of it. But I think this situation is very much like, I don't know, like if Nance got this DUI and had this video, do you think they'd give a fuck? Do you think he'd be on leave? Do you think any other analyst in the NFL would be on leave?
He would somehow still get promoted.
Yeah, or if this happened to Aikman, like, come on.
Who else are all their analysts? Why does it have to be like one of the most recent guys? JJ,
go get Greg Olson from Fox.
Why not? Why not Charles Davis?
Wait, what was that reaction, Grant?
Like, God, I don't learn anything when I watch CBS broadcasts. We got to get Greg Olson there so I can learn something while watching a football game.
Me and Bukowski will take you on in this debate one day.
Oh, that's
JJ Watt is going to run for political office someday.
Sophie Cunningham, VP. Shout out Chuck Klosterman. He was so right. I can't, but we should all be talking about that. I can't. And he said that before any of this, right?
So right.
Wow.
But JJ Watt thinks he's the Rock is what he does.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's
sure.
Also, the Rock needs a vacation.
Yes.
No one cares about you.
Didn't he just go to where did he just reveal that like Black Adam is back?
What?
You didn't see this? Was this fake?
I don't know. I know he's in another Jumanji.
Yeah.
No one watched live action Moana.
Yeah.
The Rock thinks like, then he had that show Young Rock, and in that show he runs for president because he.
Did he really?
Spoiler.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, come on.
It was on NBC Friday nights. I think if you wanted to watch Young Rock by now, you did.
I did not want to watch it, and I didn't watch it.
I would watch a sequel all these years later of The Game Plan if you were to make that with Pettis. Do you guys remember that film?
How about The Tooth Fairy? You want to see that one too?
Oh, Christ. He was in he did a Tooth Fairy
movie? He was The Tooth Fairy. Grant, put a percentage on your confidence. The Packers will not have a traditional owner. Are you like, we're like, you're blank percent confident they will not have a traditional owner?
65, 70%.
Bart, your percent that you're.
I was going to say 25, they do. So 75%.
Okay. Yeah. I'm probably like in that 55, 45 that I think they will.
I just think there's too many people that want them to.
Yeah.
At 345 Park Avenue.
Second, anything else on this? Because I know we're going to wrap up.
That's about it.
I don't think there's any, like besides the White House, I don't think you should be able to stay a place by its address.
I think you can do the Lombardi one.
Maybe, what about One Brewer's Way?
No, but you can say 1265.
What is the White House? Something Pennsylvania Avenue?
You've never seen Murder at 1600, bro? Oh,
1600 Penn. There, that's what it was. Okay. There was also a show called 1600 Penn with Josh Gad.
345 Park Avenue.
Josh Gad is dead in the MCU.
Is he really?
Yeah, he died in the show Wonder Man.
That got canceled. That got canceled. Really?
Yeah. There was a guy who he was called the Doorman because you could go through his body.
Okay.
And then the doorman's magic power ended when Josh Gad was still trapped in his body. Spoiler alert on that.
That was the big news this week of getting canceled. I don't know if it's big news because no one watched it, but.
Well, I did. All right. Well, we're not canceling this. We'll be back after the trade deadline next week. I'm going to play some voicemails to wrap this up. Boys, good to see you.
It was great to see you both.
Wonderful.
Hey, have a great SummerSlam weekend.
By the way, SmackDown, Green Bay.
Grant, I'll let you go. Can I do 3 minutes with you, Paul, on wrestling?
Sure.
Please, I would love for you guys to do that. I have to go call a man about a thing.
All right.
You guys have a good weekend now.
Bye, Grant. We were going to go tonight in Green Bay. We're not. I think they've only sold like 4,000 seats.
I looked at the seating map. It's rough.
Tickets are more expensive for this one than the Raw in Milwaukee. They start their prices at like $250.
I know.
It's absurd. WWE's in a pretty big problem here right now because the episode of Raw last week was so bad.
Really?
There was like, they did this Joe Hendry Danhausen song.
Oh, I did hear about this. Yes.
But guess who loves it? My kid.
Yeah.
We listened to it on the way to camp today.
And honestly, maybe that's just
you are cursed.
Maybe that, and honestly, I don't think they would even dispute this. I just think that's the target audience.
There was a Brock Lesnar Obafemi segment, and the pacing was as brutal as I've ever seen it.
Yeah, I saw that did not go well.
It didn't make any sense. So they got to figure it out because, again, AEW's got a chance.
Yeah.
But then AEW's got its own problems. Was there that 30-minute promo the other night?
Whatever. This past Wednesday's Dynamite was fantastic.
I can't. I'll tell you this.
It was. I think you're thinking of like they went a 30-minute overrun, which.
But there's a really long promo at the end.
Yeah, the Kenny Omega, Will Ospreay promo. But it was great.
The one thing that the factions in WWE make more sense to me than the factions in AEW. Maybe because they're too big. Or there's too many. Like, everything's a faction.
In AEW?
In AEW.
I grew up, I mean, I know we started watching wrestling at different periods of our lives, but I grew up with, like, factions. I love factions. And it makes sense then because Tony Khan grew up watching wrestling. He's our age. And you started when you were, like, in your mid-20s. But growing up, it was like everything was a faction. If you didn't have, like, a group of people that you were with, like, it was, you were the outlier.
I know, but there's too many.
I'm into it. That's what I like. That's like if I was booking, like that would be it also gets more people on the show, right? Because if like Swerve is pretty much by himself most of the time, including currently, and that makes him harder to integrate because if he's not the story, he can't just be ringside with his, you know, his buddy. So that's
do you think like between Dynamite and Collision, should they brand those? Or because it's weird how they do it different.
They kind of soft brand it, you know, like there's clearly the A show and the B show. I mean, initially they started Collision so that CM Punk could have his own show. And then FTR would be with that. And then if you didn't like Punk, you were on Dynamite. So it was like, you know, the A1 show and the A2 show. Now it's very clearly the A and B. And so it's very rare. Like you might get like, you know, Will Ospreay trouncing Daniel Garcia on Collision, but you're not going to get like the good Will Ospreay 20-minute banger on Collision. You're going to get that on the pay-per-view or on Dynamite. So, I mean, it's a soft.
The pay-per-views being 6 hours.
First off, you're exaggerating. And I'll never.
But if they're too long, WWEs are too short.
There's probably a middle ground, but I truly don't under as someone who buys every single AEW pay-per-view, I don't get the complaint of too long. Like you paid the same amount, whether it was 2.5 hours or 4.5 hours. I don't get it. It makes me confused every time. You can also just like skip that match or like go get food during that match. If you're like, I need a break, go take a break. Pause, get food. Come back, you know, like, I don't know. It's a strange
problem. The crowd gets worn down, right?
Sometimes. And that's the risk that you're blown out by the main event. And that's happened at AEW pay-per-views. But for the most part, they even bring them back in. Like, I think it was the Omega Kevin Knight one on this past Redemption that like started slow because the crowd was burned out. And then midway through, they're like, okay, and like we're cooking again, you know?
The other thing is I'm going to start calling him Seven because his birthday is very soon. But.
Oh, I see who you're talking about.
When I try to watch AEW and he's into it, he knows these guys and we've added him to our WWE game.
Okay.
So Darby Allin will come in the Royal Rumble. Kevin Knight comes in.
Nice.
Yeah. So he knows all these guys. But then Chris Jericho's got a screwdriver trying to put a hole in Ciampa's head.
Yeah. Right. You can't, you shouldn't watch, I mean, to each parent their own, but like, you can't watch an AEW pay-per-view with a 6-7-year-old. Didn't mean to do that. Yeah. That's too young for AEW pay-per-views. I think Dynamites and Collisions are fine because they have to be close to the TBS and TNT standards. But yeah, seven years old for an AEW pay-per-view. You're going to get at least one or two things in a pay-per-view that are, you know, the syringe through the cheek. You know, they've done a handful of things that are like the plastic bag over the head of Daniel Bryan. And then they teased it during the Kenny Omega thing. You know, that's for adults. Like, but to your point, like that's WWE's demographics are much younger for a reason. That's probably who they seems to be.
They got to lower their ticket prices, man. Cause I'm going to take them to Raw regardless. And I think my wife should come cause I want her to see how he interacts during a show. It's like magical, but that's going to be like, that's a lot of money for three people to go to a fucking event, even if the seats aren't that good.
I know. Just so you know, I multiple times I checked to see, including today, who is advertised for SmackDown tonight. Like, right? Because I don't watch WWE, so I wanted to at least see like what would get me to go. And as of today, this is what you're going for tonight if you're going to SmackDown in Green Bay. There are two announced matches: Julia versus Lash Legend, a qualifier spot for a five-way ladder match. Then Damian Priest and R-Truth against the War Raiders. End of list. Those are the
two. Oh, that's a double title match.
Fantastic. The other things that are happening are CM Punk and Cody Rhodes face-to-face. Trick Williams addresses Baron Corbin. Gunther and Nick Aldis face-off. Finn Balor and Sami Zayn face-off.
Well, that's a big reason why we didn't go tonight, because these go-home shows are usually not that good.
I know, but like that's – unless you are just so hardcore about WWE, like that's what I like about AEW. They're going to give you like, hey, here's the card. Now you can help decide if you're going to go or not, because you know exactly the number of matches you're going to see. And then I even like looked for last week. I'm like, okay, so this is all that's announced. What were the matches on last week's SmackDown? Give me an idea of like what last week was. Brie Bella versus Lainey Reed, Chelsea Green against Kiana James, Charlotte Flair against Nia Jax, Finn Balor defeats Damian Priest, Trick Williams, and Royce Keyes. Those were the four matches on SmackDown last week in a non-go-home show.
Yeah.
Is that enticing you or me to bring our kid to SmackDown in Green Bay? Like, it did the opposite. I'm like, okay, I kind of gave you a momentary sliver of a chance, and like, I'm not giving you the – No. I will not participate in this.
I mean, the next three nights, me and my kid are going to be in the living room watching wrestling. That's our.
That's fine. But like, there's a difference between then and then getting you to the arena.
The way ESPN covers it also has to stop.
It makes it worse. It makes the full product like something that's less.
Do you know, they did a segment on First Take. Is Seth Rollins' legacy on the line? Like, why are we talking about planting seeds in a garden we'll never get to see again? All right. I got some voicemails I'm going to run through.
We'll talk soon. See you, buddy.
Have a good weekend, bud.
You too.
Paul Immig joining us. We are brought to you by Happy Place Hemp. As you know, Happy Place Hemp, promo code BART, 25% off each and every order. Promo code at checkout takes 25% off. Unless you just buy like one can of seltzer, free shipping usually comes along. They expedite it. It's very quick. So get those orders in. Help you relax. Help you feel good. Just some of the CBD ones maybe help you more alert. Try them out. Different people react different ways. But that's kind of the fun in it, is that you get to try and see how you feel. I have been using the seltzers a lot to kind of just relax and catch up on Marvel. I'm doing a rewatch again. Not a complete rewatch, just like the main stuff. I'm trying to watch Marvel like as if I lived in this world. So I just kind of want to grasp of like what's happening in the real world, not like where Agatha goes on the Witch's Road or what fucking Moon Knight's up to. I just want to see, like, you know, I don't know. I'm out of work. All right, got some voicemails here. This one I got this morning from Vincent in Anaheim. On the Dan Shaney YouTube stream, you'll see me put my phone up to the screen. You will hear Vincent in Anaheim. This one was left this morning on the Carl's Place voicemail line. You can put in your voicemail. number on the screen, 402-915-BART. That is 402-915-2278. It is an Omaha area code. That was what I had available.
Hey, what's up, Bart? It's me, Vincent Anaheim. Hopefully this is still your, I think it is. I left other voice messages, but hopefully it is still, you still doing a voicemail and all that. But just wanted to say I caught up to November 27th, episode 2025. So happy Thanksgiving. Happy 2025 Thanksgiving. All right?
Oh, yeah.
I had a good one. That's where I'm at right now. But the whole November, your whole November podcast was funny comedy as always, man. First, I wanted to say, I think you had a Grant Bills, right?
Yep.
I think he had a take saying he don't eat in public restaurants and all that. He doesn't eat in public. I was like, I started cracking up, and I was like, yo, man, that's a weird take. I mean, I get why some people don't want to eat, but to me, I don't know. I guess it just depends when you grow up or if you went through some traumatic event at a restaurant or something. But I was like, you know, I'll eat, man. You know, that's like, what, you don't even eat at a theater? You don't eat popcorn at the movie theater, only watching a movie. But
what? All right. I'm playing the voicemail. It was a 2-minute voicemail. It's still running. Vincent. Oh, Vincent.
Hold on. Hey, just delete this one. I don't know what I did wrong. All right, wait.
Delete. Okay. Well, he never called back. So, Grant, why don't I pre-screen these? Here's David in Buffalo. Oh, more wrestling.
Bart, what's going on? This is David from Buffalo. I know it is a big weekend in the professional wrestling world, so let's make a few predictions here about SummerSlam. Let's start out with the real main event, the one that everyone's looking forward to. He returns home, Polish Joe, going one-on-one with Obafemi, and I think Obafemi is going to maybe not literally throw Polish Joe off the Hell in the Cell, but he's going to beat him like a government mule inside that Hell in the Cell. Femi, the rocket ship is strapped to him, and he's going to the big time. He's going to be a world champion in the next few months. Reigns is going to beat Rollins. He'll finally overcome that. I think the other match, I think Sokoa is going to join the Bloodline.
He better not.
Bloodline, here we go again. It's like the NWO Wolfpack, and I think they're going to maybe try to make, like, maybe LA Knight into like modern day Stone Cold, I hope. I mean, the guy deserves something. Jeez, I mean, he's only been through everything, it seems like, and they just never give him a shot. I'd like Chad Gable to win the Intercontinental title. I think he's a guy that can really take the next step in the next year to get into the main event. I think he deserves it. He's a great amateur wrestler. Let's see what else. Cody Rhodes will turn heel. I think Rhodes turns heel to win the title back from Punk. I think Punk chasing the title as a babyface is an exciting storyline. I think Rhodes sides with the corporate TKO. Also, speaking of that, did you see the thing about The Rock? I guess he's beefing with TKO or whatever. At this point, who even cares? I mean, all I can say is this. I think Polish Joe and The Rock and any of these big names, They want to wrestle next year in Saudi Arabia. That might be the last time they ever have WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia. They're all going to try to cash in because, obviously, the Saudis are going to probably do this once, considering the state of the world, and they're kind of pulling out of other things, like especially live golf. So that's all I got for you, man. I know there's other matches. I don't even know who's really wrestling. Oh, I'm sure Danhausen will beat Dominic Mysterio. I did watch a shoot interview Danhausen did a few years ago with that Chris Van Fleet or whatever his name is. Kind of interesting guy. I guess he actually can work a little bit and wrestle, so that's kind of interesting. But I don't know. His gimmick is fun for kids. It's odd, but whatever, dude. I'm really looking forward to Femi, you know, becoming the top star. I think Femi against Cody Rhodes, is Cody Rhodes a heel, would be interesting, but who knows, man, where it all goes. I don't want to see Bloodline 2.0 again. That's kind of boring. We saw that 20 years or 30 years ago with the NWO. Out.
Polish Joe refers to Brock Lesnar, which refers to the alias he used when he was texting a woman who then sued the WWE, I believe, in a sex trafficking lawsuit. So we'll end on that. We'll be back on Monday with the national perspective. If a big trade goes down, we'll jump on live for that. Trade deadline is on Monday. I will plan to do something with that as well, should we need to. That's Monday, I think, around 5 o'clock our time, maybe 4. But we'll get involved in that as well. So plenty to come. Thank you for your support. Hope to see you at the tailgate on Thursday. And thanks for stopping into hashtag like and subscribe the Winklerverse.